I believed distance could disinfect a story. New building, new badge, new inbox signature. I told myself that whatever had happened back there would lose its shape once it lost proximity. That reputations needed oxygen, and I was starving it by leaving. That's the lie I told myself. I didn't account for how quietly narratives travel, how they slip into casual conversations, how they disguise themselves as concern, how someone can poison a well without ever being seen near it. By the time I arrived, I was already known, not formally, not in anything I could point to, but in the way people paused before answering me, in the way my name landed heavier than others, in the way certain doors didn't open the first time I knocked. I hadn't done anything illegal. I hadn't been disciplined. I hadn't even been accused directly. But a version of me had arrived ahead of schedule, a version shaped by someone else's mouth. And once a lie settles into a system, it doesn't need proof. It just needs silence. I transferred because I needed air. That's the simplest way to say it, even though it wasn't a dramatic exit. No confrontation, no tears in a conference room, no slammed resignation letter. On paper, it was clean. A lateral move within the same parent company. Different division, different city, same salary band, same title. People congratulated me in that hollow corporate way that feels supportive but doesn't require curiosity. They said things like fresh start and new chapter. I let them believe that was the whole story. The truth was quieter, heavier. At my previous site, there had been an incident. That word already softens it more than it deserves. It suggests symmetry, mutual participation, shared fault. What actually happened was a slow distortion of reality that ended with me being framed as difficult, emotional, and unreliable. It started small, the way these things always do. A disagreement in a meeting where I challenged a timeline that didn't make sense. A follow-up email clarifying my position. A raised eyebrow from a coworker I had previously considered neutral. Then came the comments disguised as advice. Maybe you should let that go. You don't want to be seen as combative. You're very passionate, which can be misunderstood. The lie wasn't one sentence. It was a tone, a mood, a consensus that formed without ever announcing itself. I was told eventually that my attitude had become a concern. No examples, no documentation, just impressions. I asked where they were coming from. I was told it wasn't helpful to focus on sources. So I did what women in offices learn to do early. I softened. I smiled more. I second-guessed myself in meetings. I stopped writing follow-up emails unless absolutely necessary. And still, the gravity around me didn't lift. When the transfer opportunity came up, it felt like permission, a sanctioned escape that didn't require me to name the problem. HR framed it as growth. Leadership framed it as strategic. I framed it as survival. I packed up my desk without ceremony. I said polite goodbyes. I told myself none of it would matter once I crossed the threshold. The new office was smaller, brighter, more open plan, less glass, more shared space. People introduced themselves eagerly, as if enthusiasm were part of the onboarding checklist. On my first day, my manager walked me around, pointing out desks, restrooms, the break area with its perpetually empty fruit bowl. She seemed competent, direct, busy. I noticed even then that she didn't introduce me with much detail, just my name and role. No context, no enthusiasm. I assumed she was stretched thin. The first week passed uneventfully. Training sessions, systems access, mandatory compliance modules that everyone half-watched while answering emails. It was the second week when I started to feel it. A slight hesitation when I joined conversations. A meeting where my suggestion was acknowledged, then later repeated by someone else and praised. An offhand comment from a coworker about how things were done differently at my last site, said with a familiarity he hadn't earned. I asked him how he knew anything about my previous team. He smiled and said, "People talk." I laughed it off, but something tightened in my chest. There was a woman on my team, about my age, we shared similar responsibilities, same reporting line. She was friendly in a way that felt practiced, warm but not intimate, curious without being open. She asked a lot of questions about my background. Not professionally exactly, more about how I worked, how I handled pressure, whether I liked structure or flexibility. At first I answered honestly. It felt good to be asked without accusation. Then she asked casually if the move had been my idea or if it had been suggested. I said it was mutual. She nodded like that confirmed something. That was the first warning sign, subtle, easily dismissed, the kind that only makes sense in hindsight. By the end of the first month, I understood the shape of the room. No one treated me badly outright. That was the clever part. There were no confrontations to report, no emails I could forward to prove something was wrong. Just an atmosphere that made me feel like I was walking slightly off balance, like the floor had been tilted by a few degrees. I started noticing patterns. I was looped into conversations late. Decisions were made before I arrived, then presented as fait accompli. Feedback was vague and oddly personal. You come across as intense. You might want to manage perceptions. Perceptions of what, I asked? Of you. That answer followed me like a shadow. I went to my manager once, carefully. I framed it as curiosity, not complaint. I asked if there were concerns about my performance. She hesitated for half a second too long before saying, no, not exactly. She said there had been some comments during my onboarding feedback. I asked from whom. She said it wasn't useful to name names. That phrase again, the same one, the same language, as if it were part of a script. I asked what the comments were. She said people were still getting a sense of my working style, that there was a perception I could be defensive, that I might struggle with collaboration. I felt the room go quiet inside my head. I asked if there were examples. She said nothing concrete. I asked if this was coming from my current team or from elsewhere. She didn't answer right away. Then she said, sometimes context travels with people. That's when I knew. Someone from my previous site had spoken, not officially, not in writing, just enough to shape expectation, just enough to frame interpretation, just enough to make every neutral behavior look suspicious. I asked if this had been shared during the transfer process. She said there had been informal conversations. Informal, the word that protects everyone except the person being discussed. I went back to my desk and stared at my screen for a long time. I didn't cry. I didn't feel dramatic. I felt tired in a way that was deeper than emotion. I thought about the coworker from my old team, the one who had always smiled when I spoke, then contradicted me later, the one who had positioned himself as reasonable while quietly labeling me volatile. We had never had a blowout, never raised voices, never anything that would justify this, but he had needed a story, and I had been convenient. I considered escalating. HR was technically an option, but I had already learned how that movie ended. They would ask what I wanted. They would say there was no documentation. They would suggest mediation. They would protect the system, not the truth. I tried something else instead. I started documenting everything for myself, not in an accusatory way, just notes, dates, phrases, who said what. I adjusted my behavior again, more careful this time. I spoke less in meetings. I softened even more. I made sure emails were neutral to the point of emptiness. It didn't help. If anything, the vacuum invited more projection. The woman on my team began positioning herself as a contrast. She was collaborative, easygoing, a team player. She said these things about herself without saying them directly. She let others infer. I realized she had been briefed, not explicitly maybe, but enough to know there was a narrative to align with. She started speaking for me in meetings, clarifying my points before I finished, reframing my comments to make them safer. People thanked her. I started to feel erased inside my own sentences. One afternoon, I overheard a conversation in the break area. My name came up, not maliciously, casually, as if it were already understood. Someone said, "She's smart, just a bit much." Another person laughed. I stood there with my coffee and realized I had been demoted without paperwork. I had a choice then, fight the lie, or let it settle and shape me. I chose survival again, not because it was right, because I was tired. The thing about a lie that follows you is that it doesn't need maintenance. Once it's embedded, other people do the work for it. They interpret through it. They reinforce it without intending to. They protect it because questioning it would require effort and risk. I stayed in that role for another year. On paper, I performed well, metrics were fine, deliverables met, no formal issues, but I was never considered for stretch opportunities, never invited into inner circles, never trusted with anything that required visibility. I watched others advance, people who were less capable but easier to categorize. Eventually, I stopped expecting fairness. That was the real cost, not the missed promotion, not the stalled trajectory. It was the way my internal posture changed. I became cautious in a way that didn't feel like wisdom. I started editing myself before speaking. I learned how to disappear just enough to avoid scrutiny while still doing my job. When I finally left that company years later, no one asked why. They framed it as a natural move. Another chapter, another reset. I smiled and let them. The lie didn't ruin my career. That's the part people like to hear. I went on to do good work elsewhere. I rebuilt confidence slowly. I learned to name patterns earlier, but it left residue. Even now, when I walk into a new workplace, there's a moment where I wonder who I am in the room before I speak. I listen for tone. I watch for hesitation. I know how fast stories move. I know that reputations don't always belong to the person wearing them. And I know that silence, even when it feels like protection, has a way of agreeing with whatever is said in your absence. That lie followed me for a long time, not because it was true, but because it was useful.